Okay, boys, this got to work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay. Get a job.
You don't got to go to work. Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the work in a week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Sherry.
Welcome to our world. Leave your cares behind. It is the Bob and Sherry Show, just where you need to be right about now.
Leave your cares behind because we're going to need you to carry ours for the next few hours.
Right. You need all your strength. You need all of your strength.
You. Every bit of it.
So I had nothing to do yesterday afternoon, and I was just taking a walk for myself, and I was thinking about expressions that have come into the American vernacular over the last, I don't know, 20 years or so. And I've discovered, in my opinion, the one that is the most helpful out of all expressions. Like, laugh out loud, you know, it is what it is. I heard that. That's pretty good, you know. You don't have to get into a conversation. A guy has said something, and you really don't have to commit whether he agree or not. You just say, oh, I heard that. And then Wanda Sykes, I think Wanda Sykes invented, I'm just saying, which is very clever, you know. You've said something that's maybe a little catty or perhaps not totally accurate.
It lets you off the hook a
little bit. It does. It lets you. But I don't think there's any saying in my lifetime that is more usable than don't judge. Don't judge is so perfect because it ends whatever the thought pattern of the person judging you is thinking, right? You had too much to drink at a party, right? And you tripped and knocked over the vegetable tray at the party. And it went everywhere. And you're down there and you're slobbering, you're trying to pick up the vegetables. And your friend goes, ugh. When you just look up and say, don't judge, don't judge. Where else do they go? You've asked to be forgiven in a way, right? And you put it on them that if they keep judging, they're judgy. Yeah, they're judgy. Who wants to be a judgy person, right?
Like they've never gotten all liquored up and trashed somebody's house.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's very true. That's very true. It pushes the responsibility and whatever onto that person and lets you like run wild with whatever
it totally
you're going to do.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You get caught taking some money out of the company till, you know, and your friend finds out, your coworker finds out, hey, don't judge. You don't know my life. Don't judge. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to go well for you, but at that moment,
you know what else? It's very much of this moment in time and culture.
Yes.
It's very much because here's what you cannot picture. You cannot picture like Eisenhower negotiating the Marshall Plan and taking his finger, getting up in some other leader's face and going, yeah, don't judge. You can't,
right, exactly.
You can't see it. No. You can't even come, come a decade forward. Let's look at, Max and I were just talking about President Gerald Ford the other day, because like nobody remembers or cares or talks about Gerald Ford ever. Max played him in a play one time. Can you imagine Gerald Ford in the State of the Union address? My fellow Americans, don't judge. Like it would never happen.
Here's what he would say. My fellow Americans, our national nightmare is over, and I am going to pardon former President Nixon. Don't judge. Don't judge.
Yeah, it's just not going to, you would never.
No.
It's this moment. Happen. Yeah, it's this moment.
Max, how did you end up with Gerald Ford doing him on stage and not Kennedy or somebody?
I was in a musical called Assassins, which is a light little topic about
presidents who were either successfully or unsuccessfully had attempts on their lives.
Oh. So it was a musical squeaky comedy.
It was a musical, and it was a comedy.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yes, so I would stumble out on stage every night with Sarah Jane Moore and Squeaky Fromm picking up bullets that they had dropped on the stage. And every time I'd stumble out, people would recognize who it was. And I would get applause for saying
nothing.
Because
he was clumsy. Yeah.
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 I always thought he got a bad rap with a clumsy. A guy trips or something, you know, and that's his persona. Chevy Chase didn't do him any. So who else was in the play? McKinley, Lincoln, Ronald Reagan. What other presidents?
Kennedy wasn't in it, but Lee Harvey Oswald was one of the characters. All of the assassins were characters in the play. There were some presidents, but not many. I played many parts in that show. I was sort of in the chorus. I played McKinley, and I had to be shot every night. So there was that. But it wasn't the first time I died on stage. There have been many other times.
Oh, give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
There you go.
I'm here all week.
All right, Morons in the News is straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Hey, won't you sign up for the Bob and Sherry newsletter at bobandsherry.com to get all sorts of bonus content? It's super fun. We'd love to have you there. And while you're at bobandsherry.com, you can nominate a teacher to win a trip to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach from Visit Florida. You may have heard us mention it. It's the Bob and Sherry Family Album. We're putting together a book with pictures that we've taken over all the years of doing the show. And we have asked our listeners, if you have pictures with anybody on the show, if you've ever come to any of our events, if you were in one of the towns that RV Crazy passed through, if you've met Bob or Lamar or Doc or Max or me or any of us, we would love to include your picture and story in this book. And you can send those to us, hello@bobandsherry.com. So, you know, we're working on this project, and I was looking at everything that Tony's done so far and sending him some pictures that I had that he didn't have. And, you know, Lamar, people think that you just joined the show. Do you guys have any idea how long Lamar has been with this show? Like, I'm looking at one picture where I'm not sure Lamar had quite finished puberty in this photo. Like, it's wild.
You can really tell with the hairstyles and the hair colors, you know?
And the pleated pants. And, you know, Lamar's always a snappy dresser, right? So it's just been so much fun to sort of do that deep dive and immerse myself in all of these photos. And I came across a series of photos. Bob went to Karamia's school when Karamia was in like third grade and brought Chick-fil-A and had lunch with Karamia in the cafeteria. And I know some of you are going, that did not happen. There is no way that Bob did that. Yes, he did. He Chit Chat was Karamia's special grown-up lunch guest, and it was the talk of the school.
I did that exact same thing with my girls, and you know, they were older, and so I knew how to do it, and I knew how happy it makes kids when somebody shows up and brings food from outside the cafeteria. I had a great time.
I heard from parents of Karamia's classmates for like a month afterward. Tiffany said that Bob Lacey came and ate lunch in the cafe. Yeah, he did that. He and the Karamia calls him Chat Chat. No, it's Chit Chat. It's not Chat Chat. It's Chit Chat. Oh, and then another parent, she had this little friend. Oh my God, I love this little friend so much. And the parent said, these kids make up so many funny stories. Apparently, Bob Lacey ate at the school cafeteria. And I was like, no, that actually happened. He really did that. Because if you only hear Bob on the radio, you think that of all the places on earth that he would voluntarily go, a room full of hundreds of screaming, sick elementary school kids would not be that room. But those pictures, I was laughing looking at those pictures because Karamia looks like, what's the expression? The cat that got the cream. Karamia is like, that's right. I'm having Chick-fil-A with Chit Chat. It is the cutest thing.
It is something that is, if you're getting the, you're the kid getting the food, because I noticed this with my kids. Every kid is look. I almost felt bad about it. Every other kid is looking over because there's fast food, you know, good fast food coming out. Hot French fries and that chicken sandwich, which probably is cutting what they're having that day, you know?
Going back through some of these photos, because I'm a digital hoarder. Like, I have everything. I take pictures of everything and then I keep it. The number of photos of me and Bob, me, Bob, and Lamar, Lamar and Bob, me, Bob, Tony, and Lamar, me, Bob, Tony, Lamar, and people from the industry, me and Bob alone, me and Bob at an airport, me and Bob on a plate, me and Bob at a bar. The number of shots of us with cocktails, you would think we worked for like the American Distillery Association in PR.
I knew you were going to say that. One of those pictures I just posted on my Facebook, and it's probably all over right now, all of our Facebooks, but it was a picture you sent me of me, my silver best friend, Jeff Fox, and my other friend, my neighbor, John Lambus. And it's the three of us. And I'm holding a glass of wine. And I said, here I am with my three best friends, John Lambus, Jeff Fox, and a glass of wine. You are right. I can see us on that boat in the Hudson Valley with a tour with me with a glass of beer. It's one after another. You know what? We're just trying to look sophisticated for the audience. That's all that is.
That it's all fake. Yeah. It's all just right. A big scam. Yeah.
Right.
Chat doesn't drink like that. I mean, come on. We've got morons in the news straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you ready?
We never seem to run out.
You're both morons.
Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
From the newspaper The Mirror, here's the headline. Worst ever Ryanair flight sees screaming men throw headbutts way in the air. Holiday makers hoping to escape the gloom of England for sunny Spain were subjected to a fight from hell after a trio got into a rowdy brawl 30 minutes before landing, spouting vile language and trying to punch each other in the face. Evidently, for 2.5 hours, there were three people who were just obnoxious on this plane. One witness said, the blonde screamed the whole flight, and then her boyfriend and her brother all fell out and started fighting one another. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what chaos and fighting sounds like at 40,000 feet.
No, we're never going to go. Leave out.
That went on for several minutes. The flight attendants were trying to keep them apart. They called ahead. There it is. Grown adults. They were arrested. They were arrested as soon as they landed by Spanish police. So they screwed up their entire holidays. They made everybody very, very nervous because they just had too much to drink. You know, have a cocktail, but don't go crazy. And by the way, if you're going to do that, one of the shots of the video that Max just played was from the back of the plane. There must have been 15 phones up recording the whole thing. People will record anything. And if you're up there hitting your brother in the face and people are screaming, you're going to be on the internet.
What in the world gets into people? Why are we having all of this so much now? I mean, seriously, take a swing at that question. Why are we seeing so much of this?
I think we're just in such an aggressive mood toward each other. We take such offense. Like one of the guys said, hey, that's my wife you're talking about. So evidently one of the brothers said something about his wife and off to the races we go. The other thing is sometimes people are known, and I have a travel agent friend who told me this. Some people, when they're going on a vacation, they get into vacation mode drinking at the airport before they get on the plane. And then they start drinking on the plane, and then you're headbutting your brother.
It's just, but hasn't that always been so? Like, why is it now suddenly okay to act like a complete wild bear on a plane?
It's a good question.
Like,
it's a good question.
World? All right, Lamar.
A trio of individuals robbed a Gucci store in New York City at gunpoint and made off with tens of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. Two men and one woman entered the Gucci store in the city's meatpacking district, according to law enforcement. Video released by the police shows the incident unfolding inside the luxury store as one of the three suspects brandished a gun and ordered everyone inside the store to get on the floor. Two of the suspects wore hoodies, gloves, and black masks covering their faces. The woman was captured on video without her face obscured. The trio is seen leaving with over $51,000 worth of merchandise, which would be two purses and one shoe. They made their escape in a black Honda CRV driving through Lincoln Tunnel towards New Jersey. None of the bystanders or staff inside the Gucci store were harmed during the robbery. New York robberies have risen to more than 8% so far over last year. Hey, they're coming in to get it, and they know nothing's going to happen, and they take right off out the door. Not a problem. Yeah. Not a problem.
You know, you can, like, understand somebody that's stealing baby formula. They got a hungry baby at home. Ain't no other use for baby formula that I'm aware of, right? It's not like you're snorting it to get a buzz. But stealing Gucci? Come on.
They're going to sell that on the Lower East Side for half price.
That's just stealing.
That's where that's going.
All right, today's moron of the day is a man that all of us need to rally behind because it's not his fault. He bought a lottery ticket, and his name is John Cheeks. He said he saw his numbers on the D.C. Lottery website on January 8th of last year after he bought the ticket for the Powerball. And in his lawsuit, he claimed that his chosen numbers, which were a mix of family numbers and other important numbers to him, he said those winning numbers were online for 3 days. And I believed I was the winner of $340 million. So when he tried to claim his winning, he was rejected. And then he went to the Washington Office of Lottery and Gaming Prize Center. And an employee said, "This ticket's no good. Just throw it in the trash. You're not going to get paid. There's a trash can right there." Instead, Mr. Cheeks, and I love his name, Mr. Cheeks put that ticket in a safe deposit box and found himself a lawyer. He said that he has been immersed in his work trying to set up a bank for people who don't qualify for traditional mortgages, and he didn't realize that the lottery was trying to give him the shaft. Meanwhile, the lottery, the D.C. lottery, says, "We ain't giving you $340 million. And he said, "Yeah, I've got the proof of my win, and it's going to court right now." How would you like to be Mr. Cheeks, thinking you won $340 million? And you ain't
I would be known as Sweet Cheeks from that point on if I got that kind of money.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Tampa, Florida. Delta Airlines has created a special flight that will allow passengers to spend as much time as possible in the path of totality for the April 8th solar eclipse. Delta Flight 1218 will depart from Austin, Texas at 12:15 p.m. Central Time and will arrive in Detroit at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, according to the airline. The flight was designed to follow as close as possible to the path of the total eclipse. The flight will be on Airbus A22-300, which the airline says has extra large windows. Tickets for the flight can be purchased through Delta website. As of Monday, a one-way ticket costs $579. The flight is a result of significant collaboration and exemplifies the close teamwork Delta is known for. Hey, let's keep them doors not falling off. We're good. From selecting an aircraft with larger windows and determining the exact departure time from Austin and the experiences at the gate. They're going to try to make everything go like clockwork. And this should be really pretty cool if you're planning on traveling. I guess, would you pay $579 just for that, if you weren't going anywhere, I guess.
If money was no object, I would do this eclipse flight and all.
Yeah. That would be very cool.
I just want to see the airline with bigger windows. I've never seen an airline with big windows before.
Well, that's... I don't want them too big because the way things are going, I don't want to be able to go through one.
Yeah, to get out them. Yeah.
I can't with argue you. With you there.
That is exactly right.
That's very cool.
But that's very, and that's... this will not happen again. The total eclipse across America will not happen again until 2045. So
what type of
I'm
people
sure
are doing this?
I'm pretty sure the flight's sold out by now.
What type of folks are doing this?
Science geeks science and eclipse people. Nuts and people with a little extra cash. Yeah.
Right. Sounds That'd be cool. a cool thing to do on a date, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be a very impressive first date.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, go.
We love the guitar guy here on this show. He's a street musician in New York City who plays and invites random passersby to perform. And it's shocking sometimes how the last person you would ever pick out of a crowd will go, yeah, okay, do you know, do you know any train songs? And then stand in a subway station or on a street corner or in the park and just blow your mind with their talent. Okay, so... Alicia Keys just was a guest on the Super Bowl halftime show with Usher. And so we're all kind of in an Alicia Keys mood. And this woman, her name is Katie. She just got a promotion at her office job. It's the middle of the afternoon. She's walking by and this happened.
There you go. Does the song make you think of anybody?
My best friend, Evan. Evan, if you're watching this, this is for you. I don't know if you'll ever see this, but if you do, this is for you.
Listen, find Evan's address and email. Send it to him. Okay? So intro.
Some people want diamond rings.
soon, just want everything. Everything means nothing if I ain't got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Just out there on the sidewalk. You know,
that's really amazing to do that just cold to, you know, there's no warming up. You just start bending those notes like that. What a great blues voice she is.
I mean, I want you to just imagine you're on your way to lunch and the guy goes, you want to sing something? And you just casually dash off Alicia Keys. I can't wait for you to see this video.
She didn't hit one bad note. Not
no,
which,
to be fair, even Alicia Keys could not say during that Super Bowl performance. Okay, like we all have an off day. But Katie just landed that plane. We're going to post the video so you can check it out. Goosebumps, everybody. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Go to BobandSherry.com and enter to win a me party box with the Scone Goddess Scones, a Maine Needham sampler box, plus a Netflix gift card and more Bob and Sherry swag.
The whole thing with Facebook and Instagram where, you know, you're communicating with people that you know, some people you don't know, is wonderful. I was in contact with an old friend of mine, Paul Mesrandino, who I've known since we were in high school, and his wife, Georgina. And, you know, he messaged me listening to the show and he said, I'm going to give you a call. And we got together, and that's really, really nice to connect with people you haven't heard of in a long time. And sometimes you learn something different about them. Like we had a mutual friend named Peter who lives in Maine, and his son, out of the blue, is a listener of the Bob and Sherry Show. All right. Kid is probably around 20, 21 years old right now. And, you know, he just found us and he didn't realize the connection was through his father, me. So
That's cool.
Those things are wonderful. But every once in a while, somebody will pop up and you just go, I remember the last time I had contact. There is this guy, and you know how people come and go in your life? Like you see them a lot for a few years. And then, I don't know, something changes. Sometimes they move. Sometimes you move. Sometimes just you get married, your life changes, and they kind of drift away. You know, people like that. This guy was one of those guys. And he was married at the time to a friend of mine. And my ex and I had a Siberian Husky named Stoli. And Stoli was kind of crazy. I just love Stoli, but Stoli was kind of crazy. And she and I were going away for a weekend, and I shouldn't have done this. I said, Claire, could you take this dog? And she said, yes. And they had a backyard and all of that. And so I'm getting the feeling that he did not want to have the dog for the weekend. He was a very particular guy. We got along great. We played golf together. I mean, everything was really great. But then I heard when we picked up the dog that they were sleeping, and my dog, Stoli, came in to their bedroom, and on his side of the bed, he went. He went big time.
Number two, Boom Booms? Was it Boom Booms? Okay, just checking.
And Stoli's very quiet, you know, and he sleeps well, to get my friend. He got out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning to get ready. He worked for a bank to get ready to go to a bank job and stepped right in it first thing and went out of his mind. And she said, I was going to call you, but I decided I didn't want to ruin your weekend. But just a heads up to you, that happened. So we stayed, you know, friends. He didn't bring it up the next time we played golf, but I knew, and I knew how ticked off he was. And he just popped up and, you know, how you doing, Bob? Everything okay? Yeah, it's me. And all I can think about is that one instance. And if I were to, you know, see him again, we don't live near each other anymore, but if I were to see him again, I would. That's the only thing I could think of. And I just don't have it in me to say, you know, I know it's been years. I'm really sorry that you stepped in it. You know, I felt terrible about that. But that's all I would be able to think of.
If you agree to take care of somebody else's kids or pets and something like that happens, you don't get to like be salty and have a grudge.
But
about
he didn't
it,
agree. He half-heartedly agreed. She pressured him.
Still, like, and it's not like you told Stoli, hey, Stoli, take a crap on his side of the bed. There's $20 in it for you. I mean, the dog, you had
no
control.
If Stoli could do that, I would have taken Stoli to work and I'd point to an officer too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do about it because he's a nice guy, you know. I mean, he's not a tight friend of mine, but you like to communicate with people.
So you're afraid to even have a parasocial relationship with this man on the ground that he once upon a time stepped in a pile of your dog's boom booms? I just want to make sure I understand.
No, that's exactly how I feel. Yeah. It's the only thing I can think of. I don't understand these people that can just put things behind them like that and just say, well, he probably doesn't remember. If it were me and somebody gave me the dog and I did that, I would never forget. I would always remember. So it's hard for me to believe that he's forgotten. I don't know.
Why would you hold on to that?
Because it's
you have far bigger
every day.
You have far bigger, far steamier thing piles of things to remember. Why would you hold on to that?
Oh yeah, it's a good way to look at it, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. On that long line of stepping in it, that's a minor one.
Yeah. We sweating the small stuff. You got bigger piles.
I know.
To focus on.
I should have worn boots. For most of my
life. Buddy.
You're right.
Hey, my friend. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Ryan Connor.
My first job out of college, I work at this like sort of programming job. And I work with this guy who used to walk around work every day like this carrying a bow staff. Like he's Gandalf or something from Lord of the Rings. Just walk around like I'm at work. Why wouldn't I have a bow staff? And no one asked him for like a few months. Like my mentality was like, well, some people have a briefcase, tomato, tomato, you know? And then we asked him. Turns out he carried it because he played LARP, which I don't know, do you guys have a LARP here?
Woo!
Okay, a few people. If you don't know LARP, it stands for live action role playing. And it's like Dungeons and Dragons or Magic the Gathering, except it's played in the real world, all right? Everyone has their own rules. This guy, Drew, his game was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They could attack each other at home, at work. One guy got taken away by gargoyles at his son's soccer game. Okay? Imagine what that does for the child's cognitive development. He's just raised to think that, you know, well, sometimes gargoyles will strike. This poor kid's just playing. He was like 5 years old, and he's just like, Dad? And I just, like, a typical day for Drew would be like, you know, he gets home from work, pulls in the driveway, grabs the bow staff, starts to go to his house. All of a sudden, vampires jump out of his bushes. But these aren't real vampires, of course, but employees of GameStop. And they jump out and they start attacking him with lightning bolts, which are just bean bags. And they're scoring +5, +5. And he's like, body armor 2. And they just do algebra for like 3 hours. That's what LARP is. It's full contact algebra. So my favorite 2 days with him, one morning, I beat him to the office. He comes up to my desk, still somehow out of breath from the previous night. He's like, Ryan, you are not going to believe what happened to me last night. Oh, yeah, I will not, but tell me. He goes, all right, I was fast asleep. It was 3 a.m. I hear a crash in my living room. I open the door, look down the stairs. 5 vampires have stormed my house.
And they're obviously after me because they found out that I'm the fallen angel who's destined to kill them in the future. I'm like, well, yeah, obviously. I'm familiar with the prophecy, all right? Get to the facts, Drew. Actually, like, I don't know about the fallen angel prophecy. And he goes, so naturally, I jumped out of my window. I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, as nature would have it. Yeah, that. Went back around to the front of the house and fought them off with the sword of smite. And then he just pauses. He's waiting for me to respond. But I don't know what to say to crazy people when they're being crazy. So I just go, wow. And he goes, well, if you think about it, I didn't really have any other options. Now, did I? I was like, when you hit the ground after a 20-foot drop, you could have realized you made a terrible life choice. Taking your life down a different path. And he just goes, you think I should have joined the vampires? No, thanks. And just walks away. So my favorite day ever. He just comes up to me out of nowhere and goes, hey, Ryan, I bet I can take you in a sword fight. I was like, yeah, man, I've never even held a sword. Of course. I said, unless I had a gun, you would win. Yeah. And he just goes, even if you had a gun, I would still win because I'm a master swordsman and I can deflect all your bullets with a sword. And I go, well, did you just say that? And he goes, yes, I did. And I said, we're going to make this happen. So we set up a meeting for that weekend at a park to do battle. I said, I don't want anyone to get hurt, so I'm going to bring a paintball gun. But I was like, fine, Drew, bring a sword. Try to cut me up. I'll even sign a waiver that says if Drew kills me today, it's cool. We had a bet. So we line up like 25 yards apart. Did I mention the paintball? Okay. I have to clarify because one time I forgot and I told the story and I finished. I just had looks of horror from everyone. And I stepped off stage. There's another comic there. And I was like, I don't know what happened at the end. And he goes, well, you described brutally murdering a man and then said goodnight. And I'm like, okay, I can see why. Wasn't really a raucous response. So we're like 25 yards apart. My friend Glenn is over here reffing, or whatever you call someone who administers a warlock battle. And he goes, ready, set, go. As soon as he says go, I shoot Drew in the chest like 5 times before he can even move. And then I start to walk away because I'm thinking victory. I look up. He is running at me full speed, which thankfully isn't that fast. And I was like, what are you doing, Drew? And he goes, they bounced off my force field, which I didn't know we could have because they're not real. So I just go into survival mode, and I just start shooting him in the face over and over. So eventually he falls from all the paint in his eyes. And then I just went up to him and just kicked him until the sword fell out of his hand. So long story short, now I'm a level 9 sorcerer. Thank you so much.
I love the guy's name is Drew. I don't know why.
It's perfect, isn't it? That's how you know it's true. Yeah, it's such a detail. We'll get that set. Ryan Connor posted up. BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
She had it all. Money. Her name in the headlines. 8 different husbands. Was she a free spirit? An impulsive woman in love with love? The life of Moni I. Lindley ended in the same way she lived it, in a blaze of glory.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
I don't know what is happening to us as Americans. But I think we're getting more and more sedentary and lazy. We're watching Netflix 18 hours a week, at least. We're sitting on the couch with the Velcro chins looking down at our phones. We just don't want to move around that much. And now, out of the blue, Americans do not want to bother tying their shoes anymore. It's just too much. It's too much. Skechers came out with this campaign for one of their Skechers shoes where it looks like the shoe is tied, but you just slip your foot in. So you don't have to bend over and tie your shoe. I thought, that is such a Skechers thing, you know? I mean, that's right on brand. You know that Skechers is pitching, not completely, but to a lot of older people. And maybe they're not as flexible. I don't know. All of a sudden, and I didn't buy anything. I don't know why I'm getting these. There's a company, Vivavia. They've got hands-free shoes. Never have to tie your shoes again. And then I get another one from another company and another one. And some really well-known companies are getting into the never tie your shoes again thing. Just, you know, get out of bed and slip your feet right into these things. Don't bother with the agony of tying your shoes. What have we begun?
I saw one commercial where they were like, ew, are you touching your shoes? I'm like, ooh, do you work on a hog farm? Like, yeah, I touch my shoes.
You know what they're saying? They're saying that the shoelaces, this was an episode, part of an episode with The Sopranos, where Paulie Walnuts is washing his shoelaces, and they're over at the Bada Bing, and somebody said, what are you doing? He says, you know how disgusting shoelaces are? You go into the men's room, oh, I don't want to hear that. Maybe this is part of it, but I don't think so. I think it is comfort. It is laziness and comfort. We just don't want to bend over anymore. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
It is Talk Back Time. Give us a call at 844-52-SHERI or grab our app. It's free in Google Play in the App Store. And if you look at the bottom center of the screen, you see a little microphone just tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. Lauren here, listening from Santa Rosa, California. As I was walking the dogs this morning, I was listening to a couple different episodes of your podcast and got to the part of Morons in the News where the man was painting the squirrels red. And Bob, you asked, why would you do that? And, you know, often when I'm listening to Morons in the News, the words of my uncle ring through my head that you can't apply logic to a basket case. Anyways, that's helpful as we continue to listen to that segment. You know, you just can't apply that logic. Anyways, love what you guys do. Thanks for keeping me company this morning on my walk. You always manage to make me smile or laugh, and I just so appreciate you guys. Bye.
Another way to say that is you can't teach stupid, you know? And I guess there's something to that. If somebody is so committed to being out of control or closing down their mind, they won't open it up for anything. You can't change them. You can't teach them.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much that they're stupid. I think you're right that it's resistant. They just don't want. They just don't want to learn. And if you think about how many times in your own life, like if you're honest, have you just been like, yeah, I refuse to learn that. I'm just not doing that. I hear
well,
what you're
enough
saying,
of my high school
maybe
years.
You're right, but I'm not doing that. I'm not changing.
Yeah. The one thing I think I would have gone, if I could just get in a time machine and go back, the one thing that I would have changed definitely out of my youth would be I would somehow try to figure out math. I would somehow try to be good at it, really good at it. Because I think it makes your life so much easier in so many different ways. You can think of things analytically better if you're really good at math.
So I completely agree with you, except I'm not sure that even if we had a time machine and we went back there together, it's not just your commitment or my commitment to being better at math. You know what else would have had to happen? We would have had to stay in the same school system for a hot minute. Because a lot of what did us dirty in math was changing schools so much that we were always out of sync with the curriculum. No, I don't think that's an excuse.
You don't think it was an excuse? I wonder about that sometimes. I'm still going to use it as an excuse. You know, I'm not throwing that away. But
the reason I don't think it's an excuse is because when you're 12, okay, you're a 12-year-old child, and you go from doing just long division on Tuesday, and then on Thursday morning you're doing square roots, and you missed everything that went in between. Is that because at 12 years old you have a lousy attitude and don't care about your future? Or is it because you don't even know what you've missed? You don't even know how to teach yourself to all the missing puzzle pieces.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think also it's the possibility of a disruption in your life when it's really major. And being in three middle schools in a year and a half, that's a lot of disruption. Sometimes you just become so frazzled that you can't concentrate as well. Because I was a great student, like up until seventh grade. And then our family's life fell apart. And all of a sudden there was chaos. I can't tell you, I don't think I've ever talked about this before. I can't tell you the fear I had after the third change of middle school, going into like a math class, because I could figure out history pretty easily and even English. But going into a math class, knowing I was unprepared. And I don't know, I just never was a kid that would say, I got to go to the teacher and I got to go to my parents and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I can remember being on that bus and being so unhappy, just so miserable because I didn't have the ammunition. And I do wonder, was that my own fault? Should I have tried harder in some way? I'm sure there's somebody out there right now saying, hey, Snowflake, that's on you. And maybe it is. But, you know, what can I say? I kept reading Mad Magazine, and here I am.
I have never once been sentenced to death or stood in front of a firing squad. But I can remember my midterm exam in 10th grade geometry and getting off the bus and shuffling into that school, feeling like I was on my way to my own execution.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Exactly.
I know. And you know what's funny? You're very smart. You're one of the smartest people that I have ever known. To hear you say, you always find a way around things to get things done. You're tenacious. That's always surprised me about you with the math thing.
Well, because I missed whole giant chunks. And I got a tutor in college and relearned algebra. Finally learned algebra, forced myself to learn how to. Now I can do not advanced algebra. Let's don't get crazy, but I can solve for freaking X. But I couldn't. I mean, I just missed too much. And this is why I'm saying you are so hard on yourself. Could you have tried harder, shown up, eaten a better breakfast, blah, blah, blah? Yes. But there was so much chaos and disruption in your early life that there were holes that you didn't even know were holes. So how could you fill them? You didn't know what you didn't know.
You know the other thing? Bill Maher said it the other day. He said, I'm not a parent, but I know a lot of parents. And here's the deal. You can raise them until they're about 13 years old. But at 13, 14, they don't start listening to you. The people who are raising them are rock stars. And I thought, you know, that's about
that
right.
Sounds like somebody we know.
Yeah, started admiring rock stars more than anybody else. I don't think that was a good idea. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Some really smart people at Cambridge University in England took a look at work and what makes us happy and what makes us unhappy about going to our work. And Cambridge, you know, University is a very good one. It's up there with Oxford and Yale. And speaking of Yale, let me just bifurcate for a second here. Speaking of Yale, I just saw that Yale is going back to the SAT tests for admission. So they haven't had that in years. So they're going to get rid of the old way to get into Yale, which was have your mommy and daddy who went to Yale call and say that you would like to go too. They're using SATs. Yeah, exactly. Put up a new building. Right, exactly. So here's what the study was. Academics found those who lost their jobs are more likely to experience mental health problems.
Oh,
you got to be in Cambridge to figure that out. But here's the weirdest part. The happiest of people working in any job. So we can't, it could be blue collar, could be white collar. Academics found that people who are the happiest were people who didn't work that much. 1 or 2 days a week. It was an unexpected finding, really, because they assumed the maximum level of well-being would be among those working 3 to 4 days a week. Our mental health starts to deteriorate. Again, this is from Cambridge. Our mental health starts to deteriorate when we work less than 1 day a week or more than three. So about 2 days a week is what we kind of like. That's what it comes down to.
You know, Bob, I think people should pay more attention to important scientific news like this.
Oh, yes. I do, too. I do, too. 2 days a week. Would that not be, would that be great? Or would people just throw their time away? Would they be just so happy if they worked, all right, let's say 3 days a week. Would that make people really happy?
It would.
I think
yeah.
it would. For the, for the most part. And, I mean, there's some people that, you know, their jobs are everything. But for the average person...
If you say, well, would people just throw their lives away? Yeah. You know, kind of the way they throw their lives away at a job they hate right now. They would absolutely throw their lives away being joyful and at peace. Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that idea. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
3 days. Cambridge University, 2.5 or 3 days a week is just about what we want.
So so for you, I think three would be, two and a half doesn't sound so bad either. Well, two sounds pretty good. All right, I'm going to go with a 2 day work week because you want to have some, you want to feel like you're, I don't know, doing something.
Making some contribution. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think people need to, for me, it would be great 2 days a week. I mean, let's go back when we were, you know, just starting and we were busting it. We're busting it sometimes 7 days a week. 2 days, 3 days a week. 3 days a week would be great. I would feel I'm in the wheelhouse there. 2 days seems like part-time work.
And 3 days seems like really having that nose down to that grindstone, doesn't it?
Well, that third day lets you, that third day gives you something to complain about. And honestly,
there you go.
Everybody wants to complain about work. I mean, that's, I don't, you,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you're a pie tester, Bob hates pie. If you're a cake tester, it's great for the first few weeks. After that, you're like, dang, another cake. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't matter what you do. So 2 days, you don't feel like you can complain. 3 days, yeah. Yeah, you can complain a little bit.
I think
you got
you're
a
right.
little something. Yeah.
I think
yeah,
you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, these let's decide, Bob, as we build your perfect work life. This 3 day work week. Now, is this a full 8 hour a day work week? Because that seems punitive. I'm just going to be honest. How many hours a day on these 3 days?
I know not of what you speak, Sherry. What is this?
8 no, all it day.
It has to be
8 hours.
Yeah, every day. It has to be 8 hours. Yeah. So it's 24 hours a week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's consecutive days. That's why it's so tough. It's consecutive. If you could get a day off between those days, it would be better.
Oh, would you rather have that? I'd rather have like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday I'm working, and then I'm not back until, you know, Tuesday. I think that's the best one.
Yeah, but that's unbelievable to ask for.
How about if you just don't work at all, we just send you some money? How's that sound? Do you think you could work
now
with that?
We're getting
does
there.
That have some pitfalls also?
Now we're
you know, there are
there.
People
now
like that, there. Though. There are people that marry into money. Or they've inherited money and they don't really have to do anything. And I know a few people where one of the spouses has not worked in like 20 years and just the other one is, you know, carrying the burden. What am I talking about? I experienced that. Why don't
you know
think before you talk? Think before you talk sometimes.
It's the saddest day of the week. Can you imagine being the one to carry the burden while someone else does it? Who could?
I don't know
how
those people live
such a thing.
I don't know how they live. Thank you, Cambridge.
Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Avatar, The Last Airbender, on Netflix, February 22nd.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
Oh, this is so fun. This is how some of the most favorite foods in the United States of America made their way to the United States of America, like popcorn. Did you know, I think this is so interesting, that the earliest known popcorn kernels were discovered at a couple of archaeological sites in northern Peru, and they date back 6,700 years.
Holy cow, really?
Yes. Popcorn was super common among the indigenous people of the Americas for centuries.
Yeah?
And in fact, the Spanish conquistador, Hernan Cortez, said that he wrote that Aztecs made popcorn and used it as like necklaces, the way we turn popcorn into Christmas tree garland. Isn't that super cool?
It is. And they'd get a bowl of it and then just kind of zone out looking at Machu Picchu. What a life.
What a life. Next up is chewing gum. So this dates back to the Mayan people who chewed the rubbery dried sap of the chicle tree. Well, actually, it's called chicle of the sapodilla tree. And in the 1860s, this guy named Thomas Adams, he was an entrepreneur in New York City. He tried to market chicle as a raw material for rubber tires because chicle and rubber are these plant-based latexes. And when that didn't work, he rolled it up, and you may have seen this on The Foods That Build America. I think this is an episode of that.
It is.
He rolled it into balls, and he sold it completely unflavored as chewing gum, and that didn't really go so well. But you add some sugar and some flavor to it, and boom, now we've got a product. That became Chiclets, the candy-coated squares of chicle, and the rest, of course, is history.
Are Chiclets still around? When I'm in a convenience store, I never see them. It's always, you know, all those flavorful, fruity things. I haven't seen Chiclets in a while.
I don't think you'll find them at a convenience store. I think you have to go to some place that sells a ton of candy.
Yeah.
Like convenience stores only sell the top selling versions of whatever. But yeah, I've seen Chiclets. Did you know that potatoes came to North America in 1536? When Spanish conquistadors, once again, took potatoes back to Europe, they thought they were kind of a truffle because they'd never seen them before. But in the Andes, the Incas and the other indigenous people of the Andes long ago domesticated the potato, like 8,000 years ago. And the Spanish conquistadors were like, what is this exotic thing? And that's how potatoes made it to Europe and then to North America. Think about how much the Spanish colonizers did food-wise, because they also brought tomatoes, which were completely unknown outside of the Americas before the conquistadors brought them to Europe in the 1500s. Now, for like centuries, tomatoes were thought to be poisonous. And so the only use they had was decoration.
Really?
I want you to imagine that. Like you would have like a bowl of tomato, if you were wealthy, like an aristocrat or whatever, you would have a bowl of tomatoes out as a decorative centerpiece, but nobody thought that you could dare eat them. And that all changed by the time British settlers brought tomatoes to North America in the 1700s. That's
Can
when
I
they
say
got
something?
Here.
Can I say something? I just can't stop thinking about it, okay? I have to get it out. Don't you think the world would be better off if there was no such thing as gum?
No.
What?
I like gum.
No.
What is wrong
with
gum? I like gum too.
I'm a gum
chewer. There's so many people, they chew the gum and they throw it down. And there it is. I'm walking into a store and there's this gum that's been, now it's part of the concrete in front of the store, right? And if you're sitting at a counter, there are people that put their gum underneath the counter at a restaurant. It's disgusting. And then you have to have somebody steam clean the walkways where people have thrown their gum. I think we'd be better off without gum.
Classic logical fallacy. The problem here is not gum. The problem is the gross, selfish, piggish people that take it out their mouth and throw it. We need fewer of them and more gum.
So, Bob, here is the problem. You want gum control. And gum control is a big issue in this country right now.
Yes.
Gum doesn't stick people. People stick the gum.
There you go. That's exactly right.
You can have my gum.
That's right.
You can have my gum when you pry it out of my cold dead mouth.
That's probably right.
It's Bob and Sherry. Well said.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know, every time we turn around, there's doors flying off of planes or planes losing their wings and terrible things are happening. But in Philadelphia, tiny toys hidden throughout a Philadelphia neighborhood are sparking joy and so unexpected. They're being called the Fish of Fishtown. Someone who remains anonymous has been hiding colorful plastic goldfish. The tiny fish are randomly placed in all sorts of areas, like on top of the stately lion statue out front or hanging out in the crevices of a building's brick facade. There's even been a blue one spotted on top of a tin can and another goldfish hidden in a tree waiting for somebody to come along and see it. Now, the person behind the fish in Fishtown says they hide these creatures while walking their dog. It has no purpose other than to make people smile, and it's done just to make people, it's brighten their days, okay? From kids to grown folks, everybody's getting a kick out of this. Some people have found them and keep them, while others will take a catch-and-release approach, and they will find it here, and they will take it and put it somewhere else so somebody new can see it. So the next time you're walking in that neighborhood, if you happen to be in Philadelphia, or maybe when you're walking your dog, you might want to start this where you live and just drop off some little funny fish and that kind of stuff. It's a very simple story, but it's very cool. And you know what? We can use some distractions like this because we've got a bunch of other stuff going on that is nowhere close to this.
Amen. So, it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it is a great idea. I wish I walked Darby somewhere besides my front yard. Maybe I need to go walk around town.
Get out in the world.
And hide some fish. Or maybe I'll hide some from myself. Who knows?
Right.
So, y'all enjoy the day. This is Bob and Sherry. Thanks for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast. Have you checked out our Oddcast podcast? That's where you can find all the stuff we can't do on the radio, including the Talking Lamar podcast. On this episode, Nifty Swifty, I'm talking about the American girl that you know all too well is Taylor Swift. You may think there's nothing new to know about her. If so, you are crazier than I thought. She has a perfectly good heart, and there is no bad blood in this fearless singer. So let's just put on a cardigan and breathe. You might learn some facts that you might not know. Like for Taylor, the best day was when she discovered that writing an anti-hero song about an ex was better than revenge.
Hey, do you guys want to hear the 10 American cities with the best quality of life? And how did we decide what gave you the best quality of life? Sadly, Bob, Italian restaurants were not one of the factors, but... They looked at affordability, you know, not just affordable housing, but affordability full stop. Like some places, the car insurance is so expensive, you can barely afford to drive, right? So they looked at affordability and the quality and access to healthcare and, you know, residents' happiness. Like, are these people, you know, do they tend to be more depressed? Do they tend to get outside and play and that sort of stuff? So here we go. These are the 10 places in America with the highest quality of life, starting with number 10. You will never guess number 10. I'm not even going to ask you to try. It's Trenton, New Jersey.
Really?
You probably wouldn't have picked Trenton, New Jersey if I gave you all day. And I don't know why, probably because of all the, you know, stereotypes and cliches about New Jersey. And also because we've all watched The Sopranos about 10,000 freaking times. But in Trenton, New Jersey, the average annual salary is over $70,000 a year. Compare that to Boise, Idaho, where it's like $49,000 a year. And listen to this, guys. This will blow your mind. So Washington, D.C. is a super expensive place to live.
Right.
The average annual salary in D.C. is $80,000. It's just $9,000 less in Trenton, but homes are more affordable. Everything's more affordable. So that's how Trenton, New Jersey made it to the 10th spot on the list. Let's go to number 9, Rochester, New York, which, you know, again, might surprise you. It's tough winters. You know, you always get this idea that the Sun Belt, that all the jobs and opportunities are moving, but that's just not true. Number 8, Bob, is a town you know really well, Hartford, Connecticut.
You know, I don't know it really well. I was from New Haven, and I can't remember once anybody saying to me, hey, let's go to Hartford this weekend and party. I mean, it's an insurance center, and that's about, I know nothing about it. The Mark Twain House is there. But I am surprised because Connecticut taxes are high. Beyond that, I don't know much about Hartford.
But in Hartford, the average salary is almost $68,000 a year. And you can buy a house in Hartford for about a fourth of what you could buy a house for in most other places in Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah. Number 7, and this is a sweet town, but you got to be able to handle the cold. Number 7 is Green Bay, Wisconsin. Highest quality of life. Number 6, Boston, Massachusetts. This is the first big city showing up on the list.
I thought the cost of living would be high there.
Through the roof.
The home prices are super expensive, but in terms of jobs and healthcare and all of that and walkability and stuff to do, people love Boston. Okay, now we're in the top 5. I totally agree with number 5. It is the cutest, coolest place, Portland, Maine. Top 5.
It is. Yeah.
Highest quality of life.
Portland. Yeah. Now, Mainers call it Boston North because a lot of people from away have moved to Portland. It's got a great food scene. And I know every city says, oh, our food scene and our beer gardens are unreal. They really have it in Portland and have these cobblestone streets. Of course, it's cold in the winter. But there's great shops and great coffee shops, and you can still be warm. And then the summer is glorious.
Number 4, San Jose, California, the only place in California that makes the list. Number 3, Wisconsin is the only state in the country that has 2 cities in the top 10 for quality of life. Madison, which is the coolest college town. Homes are affordable, salary's good, lots and lots of cool stuff to do. Madison, Wisconsin is number 3. So now we are at the top 2 places in the USA with the highest quality of life. Number 2, Boulder, Colorado. No surprises there, right? Boulder's fantastic. And the number 1, you won't guess it. So it's kind of like Trenton. You wouldn't have guessed Trenton is number 10. You will not guess that the number 1 place in America is Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, is it?
The highest score, big salary, affordable homes. People, Michigan's beautiful, full stop.
But it is.
People are so happy in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And you'll be shocked if you've ever heard my husband talk to know that's where he was born.
Wow.
You'd never guess it. You'd never guess it. But he's a born Michigander. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, podcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
You think American corporations are the stupidest corporations in the world, but maybe not. In the UK, a gift bag designed for menopausal women working at Avante West Coast train. It contains a fan and a jelly baby, to name a couple of things, has been denounced as demeaning and an insulting gimmick by rail unions. The pack included a fan for hot sweats, a jelly baby sweet in case you feel like biting someone's head off, a tissue if you're feeling a bit emotional, a paperclip to help you keep it all together, a candle to remind you there is light at the end of the tunnel, and a tea bag because, hey, tea makes everything better in the UK. A pencil to write down things you might forget, chocolate, it's a great excuse to eat chocolate, and a penny to bring you good luck. All of this was handed out to staff at drop-ins for menopause support conversations. Avante said that the packs had been available for a year and were designed by the firm's support group, made up, now get this, made up of women who were themselves going through the menopause. However, they provoked an outcry on social media after being highlighted by the rail unions. The drivers' unions said the menopause is debilitating for some women. It's not a joke. Rather than handing out insulting gimmicks to female employees, would it not be better placed to develop workplace policies that would value and support perimenopausal and menopausal women? While it's good to hear that Avante is talking about menopause, it's not necessarily what they need. They need to have a solid menopause action plan in place, including training, information, flexible work and absentee policies, and dress codes which support menopausal women. Now, get this. Avante said it is now providing access to 100% cotton shirts to support those with menopause systems. I'm not sure what the shirt's for. I don't understand that. But
probably cooler.
That may be
it. What was the candle for? What was the candle for?
It was to light
so that they could set
tunnel.
Something on fire without destroying anything.
Listen. This is not their first problem. Avante's latest internal communications controversy comes just weeks after a leaked presentation showed company managers joking about free money for the firm from taxpayers, regardless of performance. They can't get out of their own way.
I know somebody who is in that situation, and if I said to her, here's a candle to show you that things will get brighter, she would punch me in my neck. I
mean, why are you talking about me like I'm not here, okay? Why are you doing that?
It's not you, baby. It's not you.
Oh, God. I mean, this is a huge corporation. How do you? Listen,
that wasn't put together by women. It doesn't sound like it to me. That sounds like maybe there were a couple of women on that committee, but that sounds like a bunch of dumbass guys coming up with some cheap
I remember when my first wife went through that, joking wasn't working. Menopausal jokes are not working.
No, there's nothing funny about it at all. Yeah.
Do you know what's terrible?
And don't turn the heat up in the winter.
No.
Can I tell you what's terrible? And they don't tell you this. Basically, you know, you're born. Oh, look, it's a baby girl. Yay. Then you hit puberty. And then you've got to deal with that for decades, like literal monthly decades. And just when you think, I think I'm getting close, then perimenopause starts. And that lasts roughly 17 years from what I can tell on Instagram. And then menopause. So basically, as a woman, you have roughly 12 years before your hormones take you hostage and make you miserable. So,
but you know what?
What are
the
you
good
doing
news
giving
is
them
you've got us men.
And candles? Oh, yeah.
You've got us men to thank walk God. You through that and to understand. Right. You've got us. You've got us. Yeah. We're there.
Your support.
We're
is
support group.
Yeah. But please let me turn the heat on a little bit. Just a little bit.
Get a sweater, you selfish. Just go get a sweater. It's always about you. I'm so tired of you. I'm hungry. I get up so early. I get up early. Oh, I have to take the trash out.
Oh, please
it's
make
cold.
It stop. Please make
it's
it
cold.
Stop.
It's cold.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
You think I don't love you and care about you and think about you every minute that I'm awake in this world. That's what you think.
But you talking to me?
Yes.
I'm talking. Oh, okay. Wow.
But you're mistaken, because as I go through my daily life.
I'm glad my neck problem is gone, because I was turning around.
As I go through my daily life, a life that is not only in service to others, but in which I am a doormat for others. And I think we can all agree with that. As I go through my daily life, when I spot things that you would like, I say to myself, oh, I am saving that for the B.O.B.
Yeah.
So as I was going through my daily life.
I like spaghetti pie.
Not so, well, you know, that cooking thing. I can't do it in the van.
Oh, all right.
So as I was going through my daily business the other day, and I was reading BuzzFeed because I'm addicted to it like everyone. They had this thing about behind the scenes facts about some of your favorite comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a Bob thing. Would you agree?
Yeah.
That is a Bob thing.
So how far back does it go?
Maybe it's not as Bob a thing as Baby Names and Dirty Jobs, but it's definitely a Bob thing.
Yeah.
So Sleepless in Seattle with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And Meg Ryan.
Not one of my favorite movies, but yeah, go ahead.
I didn't say they were Bob's favorite comedy movies. I said they were comedy movies.
Oh, you mean type of bit that I would want to do?
Yeah, you like these little behind-the-scenes things.
Yeah.
You like this.
I'm so shallow. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, it was this or explaining some solar flare action to you.
I'm liking that movie better.
Tom Hanks during Sleepless in Seattle, he said that he was really cranky and that he didn't think his character got any good lines. And he was really... not having it.
Is that right?
And he was cranky AF while they were shooting that movie.
You know what? That character was cranky.
Yeah.
Do you remember that character?
Yeah.
He was kind of on the sour side. It wasn't the usual Tom Hanks.
And Tom Hanks was feeling that way.
Yeah. Huh.
And speaking of Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, when the movie You've Got Mail was made,
right?
Meg Ryan had never owned a computer prior to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a luxury that rich, famous people have, by the way.
But you know, back then, I think there was a lot of people that didn't have a computer.
Maybe.
That was a while ago.
Tell me when that was made. You've Got Mail.
1998.
Yeah.
1998.
It was not as ubiquitous as it is now.
I had a computer in 98. Did you have a computer in 98? I had a computer.
I did.
Yeah. I had a computer.
It was on dial-up, but I had one.
Yeah, I mean, the whole You Got Mail thing, I mean, it takes you right back to that era. There's a lot of folks that didn't have one.
Emma Stone got so into the faking scene in Easy A that she had an asthma attack and didn't know that she had asthma, and that's when she was diagnosed as a person with asthma.
No kidding.
Easy A is one of my favorites. If you've never seen it, it's hilarious. It's kind of a teenage comedy. It's really funny.
What was she faking?
Well, she was doing a favor for a friend so that people would think that he had hooked up.
Yeah, yeah.
And she worked herself into an asthma attack.
Wow.
The Princess Bride, the part that went to Cary Elwes, Prince Wesley.
Yeah.
They nearly gave that part to Colin Firth.
Yeah, I could see
which
that.
I could totally
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see. They were filming 40-Year-Old Virgin, and the studio was so worried that Steve Carell came off as a serial killer that they almost yanked the movie a week into shooting.
Because he had such a strange lifestyle.
They had a meeting a week into it and went, you guys, this isn't working. This guy looks like a serial killer.
Well, he lived alone. He was very particular about everything, the helmet, the bicycle, you know, and obviously there was no woman in his life. That was the whole.
That was the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So Love Actually, one of my very favorite movies.
Yeah, that's a very good movie.
Do you remember the scene where Hugh Grant dances? He's playing the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And he dances to the song Jump, I think, by the, is it the Pointer Sisters?
Yeah.
He wasn't having any of that. He fought them and fought them because he said he wanted to play a believable character. He wanted the audience to find him believable as the Prime Minister of England and that the Prime Minister of England would not dance to the Pointer Sisters.
But the movie makers knew that women especially would find it endearing that somebody in that position would be that playful. And that's why they pushed for it.
He was perfect in that part. Yeah, I loved him in that part. And while we're in Great Britain, let's stay there. Bridget Jones' Diary. There were a lot of people that were really, really angry that an American was cast as Bridget Jones. Renee Zellweger.
Right.
Because it's a British character, British author, British book.
Yeah.
But Renee Zellweger was so determined to pull off the British accent that the whole time they were shooting the movie, she never broke the accent. Not one person involved with that movie ever heard her speak in her regular American
voice. She just stayed
voice.
In that character. She's
not in the character so much, but she didn't want to risk the accent.
Yeah.
So she kept it.
Good for her. She was great in that. That opening scene alone is worth the price of a movie admission.
She was so good. Is that was one of those things where everybody was like, no, not an American playing Bridget Jones.
Yeah.
And then Renee Zellweger so was Bridget Jones.
She was terrific. Yeah, that's right.
So there you go. I'm sorry I didn't bring you behind the scenes facts and Bob's favorite movies.
There's always tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow.
You know, I mean, go ahead and look.
Yeah.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
There's a hotel chain in Europe, and they did a little look at who are the people using our hotels and what do they want and how have things changed. And I don't know if this is Europe or also the United States, but a majority of people, a fair majority of people said, I would rather go with my friends on vacation once in a while than with my partner. Both men and women were saying that. They said we need a mini break, and you can do that more easily with friends. And that would be two trips a year, if possible. The trips do not have to be for a week. It could be just, you know, a long weekend. The majority of people said they feel better coming back after those trips than coming back with the after spending time with the family because of the tension. Friends help them relax more. You know, I can see it a little bit, but I just don't know how many people can get away with that.
Nope.
I just don't. Maybe 3 days once a year or twice a year, but yeah. A full week. Let's say the average folks, the average couple gets 2 weeks out of the year. Can you see taking half of that with your buddies and not her?
Nope. No, I mean, especially if that's what you're, I mean, you've only got like 10 days a year vacation time, but yeah. I really do think there's a lot to be said for, listen, I don't want to go fishing, enjoy. Yeah, and you don't want to go thrift shopping and out to brunch. See you later, alligator.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, now, if
the kids come into play, it's different a little bit because, you know, you're not sharing the responsibilities. But I think it's kind of a good thing. Mary is going away with one of her friends who just bought a little cabin in the mountains. They're going to go up there and, you know, decorate it for a week or so. I don't have a problem with that at all. I guess if you're an empty nester, it's easy.
I feel like, yeah, this is for people who don't have kids yet or whose kids are older.
Yeah.
Because I'm here to tell you, mister, do you want to go fishing? And I'll take the kids to the beach. Yeah. Bring a life jacket.
Yeah, right. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.